Hey, folks, have you ever heard of a company called MagMod? They make some really cool gear for photographers. We're going to dive into that and more in this episode.
This is TWIP.
All right, so gear, right? A lot of photographers say, well, it's not about the gear, it's all about the photographer. But turns out you do need some tools in order to execute on the vision that you want to create as a photographer. MagMod is one of those companies that creates things for you as a photographer to help you modify the light and do some other things when you're taking photos, right? So Trevor Daly is one of the guys from MagMod. He's an educator. He's kind of the face of the company. He does a whole lot of stuff over there. He knows a lot more about the company than I do. Hopefully at the end of this, I'll know a little bit more about MagMod. Trevor, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. That was quite the intro. I like that.
It's what I do, man. It's what I do. No, welcome, man. This is cool. I'm glad to meet you because who put me in touch with you? Christopher Berry, who's a neighbor. I guess he's close to you guys out there in Arizona.
Yeah exactly. Because MagMod, we're actually based out of Tucson. And so Christopher, he's out here in Tucson as well. And I'm glad that he introduced us. You got quite the production. You got quite the tribe and following. I love it.
Thank you.
I'm glad to learn more about This Week in Photo and get more involved. It's super, super cool what you got going on.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It is quite the tribe. The interesting thing about the This Week in Photo tribe is I'm more of a member or one of the members of the crowd that happens to get the mic, right? So it's really cool. So before we start, tell me a little bit about Trevor Daly. Like, what, before we dive into the MagMod stuff, I want to hear about you as a photographer. What kind of stuff do you shoot? What do you like to shoot? Who are you as a photographer?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. My photography, actually, I go back when I was like 10, 11 years old. My mom was big into photography. In fact, if you can look behind me, there's little cameras that are up on that shelf.
Those
are her cameras. Just the Canon AE-1, things like that. And so she got me introduced to it when I was young. I loved basketball and photography. Those were like my two hobbies. And in fact, she used to always say that I grew up with a basketball in one hand and a camera in the other. So I would just walk around doing all day. I had no time for Saturday morning cartoons.
Wow. You missed a whole part of your childhood with that, man.
No, that's true. I lie. I watch plenty of those. So it started really young. And then basically I grew up doing it. Did it through high school, did it through parts of college. And then I thought, okay, I got to get a real job. And so I actually got into finance. I did that for 8 or 9 years. And it wasn't only till after I did that for a while, I told my wife one day, I said, you know what? I really want to go back and doing photos. I mean, I wonder if I can make a living. And of course, everyone was worried. I mean, even my parents and so forth were like, the idea of me being a photographer for a living was just like, are you sure? Like, you know, right. The starving artist syndrome, right? Everyone thinks that photographers are just starving. And so it's really funny because the time that I decided to actually jump ship from my normal full-time job and do photography full-time, which is about 11 or 12 years ago, I didn't tell anybody. My wife knew. I don't even know if my kids knew, quite honestly. But I just left the full-time job, said I'm going to do photography full-time, and didn't even tell my family until about 6 months later. I think it was at Thanksgiving, actually. My mom had mentioned, she said, hey, how's everything going at the job? And I was like, oh, you know, unfortunately, they had to do some layoffs. And of course, as any mom would, she's like, oh, no, like, are you okay? And funny enough, I didn't get laid off. I actually just resigned. But it was because I wanted to, right? I had to have some kind of excuse. So I apologize to my mom that I had lied here. But I literally just told her, I said, no, it's okay. I'm going to do photography. And no, are you sure you're not going to be able to survive in photography? I'm like, no, it's cool. I've been doing it for 6 months. I'm okay. I'm doing it fine.
That's amazing. Yeah, that's interesting because you're like, that's quite a secret to keep though for 6 months, you know? Because it's like, so how's it going at work? I went great today, you know? So.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I just didn't want that negative or that fear or anything sent to me. It was almost like I didn't want those vibes. I didn't want somebody worrying about me and calling and, you know what I mean? It was like, I'm going to do this. I didn't have a backup plan. I didn't have money in savings. It was just like I was pushed to the fire and I had to go, or pushed to the water and I had to jump 2 feet in. You know, I'm not sure what the best analogy would be, but nonetheless, it worked. That was 12 years ago.
The good analogy is you had to burn the ships, right? So you remember that? You burn the ships and or use the wood to build your Trojan horse of photography and move on.
Exactly. I didn't want an escape route, or I didn't want another way out of it. And so I just had to go for it. But yeah, wedding photography is what I do. That's kind of my specialty. That's what I've been doing for a while. Every once in a while, I'll do small gigs, events, commercial, that kind of stuff, just little things here and there. But 99% of my income, if not 99.9%, is weddings.
No, is it? So weddings, and I hear it's so interesting. This is a perfect segue to the conversation and a preface to the MagMod stuff. But I hear wedding photographers, it seems to be like, people are there. It's a bifurcated industry. It's, or maybe trifurcated, because there's people that love shooting weddings. They can't wait to shoot their next wedding. There's people that shoot weddings because they have to shoot weddings, and they're like, if I was rich, I wouldn't shoot weddings. You know, the former people would shoot weddings even if they were rich, right? And then there's the third group of people that hate shooting weddings, and there would never go near a bride or anybody that's even engaged. You know, where do you fit on that spectrum?
And so I definitely fit in the first, in the first category. In other words, even if I had plenty of money, even if I was, I hope this is okay to say this. People call it their retirement level when they have plenty of money and they can like retire and be fine. Mm-hmm. Gosh, I hope we can cut this if it's not.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I learned a long time ago, a boss had told me, he calls it his go to hell level. And what he meant by that was, when he gets to a certain point where he's financially stable and it's like where somebody says, oh, I want you to do this, and they're really rude to him, he can just be like, go to hell. Like, I'm fine. Like,
That's the nice way of saying. I had a boss once that used to call it F you money. That's some money where you could say, hey, yeah, you like, remember Office Space or whatever? And the guy would be like, hey, yeah, I need you to work on a Saturday from like 6 to like 9 p.m. Yeah. Are you okay with that? And be like, no, I don't have to do that. Yeah, that's the F you or the go to hell money. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. No, exactly. But so I definitely find myself in that first category, in that I just love doing it. And I think the reason I love doing it so much is because I know that the photos I create for the couples gain value each and every year that goes by.
Yeah. So
in other words, if I do a commercial gig, for example, I might create a nice picture of a model, and she might be able to show her kids and grandkids and great grandkids someday when, great grandma looked really nice and pretty and so forth. And I mean, that's fun and all, but I think wedding photos, I mean, out of everything that people cherish when they get older and they look at photos of their grandparents and so forth, is those wedding photos. And nowadays, we look at photos of our grandparents' wedding and it's like maybe 3 or 4 shots, right? Yeah. There's always the cake shot, and there's always the pose shot and everything else. But I just think, someday down the road, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, those photos are going to be the most cherished possession in that family. And so for me, it's like, there's this special, I think we all want meaning in life. We all want to be able to do something that we feel like we made a difference somehow.
Yep.
And I feel like that's my small way of being able to make a difference in the world.
That's fantastic. See, that's what you want to hear from your wedding photographer, right? You don't want to hear like, I shoot 950 weddings a year. What's your name again? You want to hear from somebody who's passionate about it and because your passion obviously is going to come through in your work and your attention to detail and even your engagement in the industry and with wedding trends and that sort of thing, right? Because you're going to be keeping up on everything versus like, I just do them the way I do them and, take what you get, right?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to this and so I can actually remember what I said.
Well, it will be on YouTube forever, so.
No, it's so true though, but it truly is. I mean, it's just as genuine as I can be. That's exactly why I do it, and it's why I love doing it, and it's also why I love teaching other photographers how to do it, because weddings are scary. I mean, we have one shot. We don't get to retake it. We don't get to spend as much time. Sometimes we only have, I've shot quite a few weddings in Panama, and I shouldn't say quite a few, I've shot 3, but there was one wedding that I shot down there where the couple only gave me 5 minutes to do a couple photos. And so that's scary. I mean, if that was my first wedding, or if I didn't have any experience and I only had 5 minutes with a couple, I mean, that is scary. But I just think overall, like, hey, any photo I'm creating is one more photo that they can cherish. So I just, I love it. So,
Let's switch gears and talk about MagMod, right? So, Perfect. So you're kind of the unofficial face of MagMod. You do a lot of education for those guys. You probably know more about the product line than most people on the planet, right? So, and I'm not familiar with the product line. So let's take it from there. So from MagMod as a company, where was MagMod born of? Like, was it hey, there's this hole in the industry and we need these kinds of modifiers, or was it something else? How did the company come to be?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So the guy named Spencer Bowerup, he was actually a photographer out in Tucson, Arizona. And Spencer was an amazingly talented photographer. He did weddings and seniors. In fact, he actually had a quite an impression on the industry. He sold a course, I think it's called Sales Photographer, I think is what it was called. It was basically teaching photographers how to sell prints and so forth. He had presets and Lightroom. So he's always been kind of an entrepreneur in a sense that he's looking for ways that he can help the industry and help photographers. But he really, the thing that he stumbled on the most that has made the biggest impact is MagMod. Mm-hmm. And essentially what it was he loved using lighting on his shoots. Yeah. He loved using, you know, flashes and softboxes and so forth when you shoot seniors and families, you know, getting away from just shooting natural light all the time, actually doing something maybe a little bit after sunset, stuff like that. And he loved it, but it was always, you know, this was 4.5 years ago. It was always just tough. It was always like, okay, hey, clients, wait for 5 or 10 minutes while I pull all this out and set up my softbox. Yeah. Or, you know, got to put my ring on here and attach this and attach that. And or even like, you know, back in those days, we would use flashes and we would cut like straws up and create our own little grids. You know, we put tape around straws, yeah, and then somehow tape it to our flashes. And granted, people still do that. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's cool to do like do-it-yourself type projects. But it was just, it didn't have the professional look and feel, I guess you could say, or you go to pull it out of your bag and your straws all came apart. Right, so, I mean, there was that sense where it was like, hey, you know, there's a need for this. And he knew that he needed it because he was out there shooting all the time, but he didn't have anything. He didn't have a way of doing it. So I guess I've already kind of jumped ahead a little bit in saying that basically what Spencer decided to design was a way to make it easy, fast, quick, and easy for photographers to modify, control, shape, and color their light coming from their flash. And nice. So he was like, okay, how can I, you know, if I'm out using flashes on shoots, how can I do it so it's really quick and simple and easy and still get, you know, the quality of light and everything that we're looking for? So
a good way to say is that MagMod is focused on off-camera strobe or on-camera strobe light modification or light modifiers, right? Whether it be diffusers, exactly, or snoots or how different ways to control the light. That's yeah, hitting the subject.
Exactly. In fact, I grabbed one just before we came on. I put a few on my desk here just so I could show people.
Cool.
And I don't know, maybe you'll show some photos as well. But basically, this is essentially the magic behind the MagMod. And it seems so simple, right? But this is just a silicone, you know, stretchy band.
Yeah.
That will always kind of hold its shape. And in other words, I can stretch it out and it will always go back. But the idea behind this is you can take these and put it behind any kind of flash. So this is a Canon 600 right here.
Uh-huh.
But I use a lot of the Godox 8200s is one that I use a lot. We've even had people fit them over a Profoto A1, that big circular one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But all it does is you just stretch this over and you see the outside here, the edges. So this kind of larger kind of lump on the outside.
Yeah.
So that's two magnets, two very, very strong magnets. And so now all the modifiers that he has on these, I'll fix this so it looks a little bit nicer here for the camera. So now all the modifiers are just magnetic.
Oh,
so
wow.
You can see like this is a snoot and you can see there's magnets on the bottom down here as well. So if anyone wanted to grab a snoot, for example, and just attach it to their flash, they can do that in literally a snap. It doesn't, you know, there's no adhesive, there's no straps or anything like that. And they're pretty strong magnets.
Wow.
I was actually at a wedding on Saturday just for fun. I would not recommend this to anybody by any means. Please don't go out and test this. But I literally was, this is actually the one I had on here. I'll tell you about this one in a second. But I had a balance on my flash and my flash was on camera. It was literally on my camera was hanging from the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And I was going like this, swinging it. It was actually holding the camera. Again, please don't do this to anybody because I do not want anyone to wear it. I mean, if you do it over a pillow or something, right?
Yeah.
But I was curious. I was just curious how strong it would be. And that's what I was doing. The nice thing is it is easy to take off. I mean, you just peel it back. But when you have those two magnets, it's pretty strong. So
Velcro free, no Velcro, right?
Yeah, no Velcro, no noise. Think about that. When you're like in a church and you're like, you know, making noise.
Oh, right, right. So what kind of modifiers are there? I'm curious. Because like for my strobe, I have a couple of off cameras or speed lights for my Lumix gear. And mm-hmm. I don't have any modifiers for them other than what came with the strobe. Like, you know how they come with the little translucent attachment for the front or maybe some gels
or
whatever.
Like a Stofen cup or.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So most modifiers will come with like a little bounce card.
Yep. Yeah.
Excuse me, not modifiers, but most flashes will come with a little bounce card. So kind of our equivalent to that is is much bigger and more effective is our mag, what we call our mag balance.
Yeah.
So the mag balance, it's what's nice about it has four magnets in it. So if I turn that just the right way, you can kind of see.
Yeah.
And the reason it has four magnets is because you can actually turn it the different directions. So if I'm shooting either on camera or off camera, it doesn't really matter. But let's say there's a wall right over here. I could switch it this way. Now I'm getting the majority of my direction of light is going off the wall coming back, but I'm also getting some through this kind of translucent side here and a little bit on the edge. I'm getting some filling in the shadows on, you know, on my client. So I use this one when I'm shooting a lot when I'm shooting at receptions. So when I'm walking around a wedding reception and people are dancing and having a good time, I'll actually have some flashes set up towards the dance floor, but then I'll also have this on camera and I'll just add just a little touch of flash to fill in the shadows where that light's not hitting.
Yeah.
And I'll shoot it like at 1/128th or something really low. It's just a nice little quick balance.
Just add a little bit in there.
Yeah. I will say this is one of my favorites. I talked about the straws, you know, we do the do-it-yourself grids. So this is just a grid. They call it the mag grid.
Yeah.
And basically, it's again, it's all magnet, and it just allows you, for those who have never used a grid before, what grids do is it allows you to control your light. So when the light comes out of your flash, it's going to spread out as quickly as possible. When you put a grid on anything, a softbox, a flash, whatever it is, when you put a grid, you're basically telling the light, I just want you to go in this direction. Mm-hmm. Don't spread out so quick. And so these mag grids go to about, it takes your light down to about 40 degrees. And then what's cool is, I'm trying to see if I have another one on me right now. Well, if you can stack them on top of each other. So if you stack another one on top of it, it goes from like 40 to, I think it's, I can't remember if it's 30, 20, 10.
Yeah. Or so 40. Basically you're snooting it down and creating a more focused pattern of light.
Exactly. Exactly. So if you really want just one defined area of light, I love using this kind of stuff when, you know, like, let's say, in fact, there's a photo of a couple and behind them there was a trash can. And I'm like, well, I don't want the trash can, but I love the window that's right here so I can create some reflection. And so I'll put something like this on there, something to control my light. That way it's hitting the couple. It's not going backwards and hitting the trash can behind them, but I can still get that light where I need it in my photograph.
Yeah.
So I love that kind of stuff. Or, you know, another great use of this is on dance floors at wedding receptions. I'll point them towards the dance floor. I'll light up the people dancing, having a good time without sending light throughout the entire room. Because when you send light throughout the entire room, you kill all the ambient light. So when they have up lights, kind of like what I have behind me, this blue and orange, you know, if I send flash all around the room, it's going to kill it. It's going to make my walls white, basically. Not only that, but I'm, you know, sending light everywhere. I'm killing it. So I move my flashes a little bit closer to the dance floor, put some grids on it so it's controlled in that one area. And then when I'm shooting people dancing, I can still get that cool ambient color that they paid so much for, you know, that filled up their room.
That's killer. So who would you say the target? So obviously wedding photographers, right, is a target for these. Is that your primary? Is that the MagMod primary audience for these modifiers? Or do you guys, you know, find that photographers outside of that genre are using them?
Yeah, you know, I would say the majority of the photographers that use them are wedding photographers, but that's just simply because wedding photographers are always looking for something fast, quick, and easy. Mm-hmm. Like the last thing we want to do is carry around big soft boxes and monopods and all kinds of crazy stuff. And we totally understand that a large soft box is going to give you a much prettier wrapping light when you're doing like headshots or when you're having it close to your subject, you know, as opposed to something like our MagSphere. Like we get that. Like we're all photographers. We understand how light works.
Right.
And obviously a larger modifier, a larger light source is going to create softer light. But a lot of times wedding photographers, we're run. We're like on the go, quick. We got to move it quick. You know, we're small environments sometimes, you know, things like that. And so I would say the majority of the photographers that use the products, I don't know a percentage wise, but I would say that they are wedding photographers. We do have a lot of even commercial, even studio photographers that will use things like the grid, or the snoot
yeah,
basically,
for sure.
If you want like a pin light for like a hair light, things like that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so that's crazy.
So to answer that question, I would say the majority are wedding, but it kind of appeals to a lot of different photographers and genres that are just looking for fast, quick, and easy light modifiers.
And then what are we looking at price wise for the, and how do you guys price them? Do you like the magnet that straps onto the strobe or to the speed light, does that come part of a kit, or do you have to buy it separately? How does it all work?
Yeah. So, we have kits. We have things like a starter kit, which basically comes with three of our most popular modifiers, which is the grip. So the part that goes on the flash plus the grid plus the mag sphere, which is a really popular modifier. I can tell you a little bit more about that, but they run the starter kits. Like, I think it's $90 if I'm not mistaken. We have pro kits, which is kind of like one of each of the most popular things. And that's, I want to say one, gosh, I should have done my math. I mean, I should have done my homework. I want to say it's like 180, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll link to the site on the blog post and in the description in the YouTube.
Yeah.
Video.
Yeah. We can toss it up, but it kind of depends. I mean, the grips are typically run around $25. So like I have one grip on each one of my flashes. That way I can just kind of pull them out real quick and just pop on whatever I need. Mm-hmm. They're not hard to put on. I mean, if somebody wanted to just have one for a couple, it certainly could, but then you'd only be able to modify that one flash.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I would probably, if I had multiple strobes, I would have one on every strobe. Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it nice that way. And, you know, even things like gels.
Oh, right.
I apologize. This is my very used dirty gel here, but like even adding color and gels to photos or color correction. And what's really cool about this kind of stuff is they all, like I said, they stack. So, I mean, you could easily, you know, add a gel and a sphere. We use a sphere like when we're in small, medium sized rooms looking for that omnidirectional light source. A lot of people even use it to, when they point flashes at couples, and it creates kind of a nice soft spherical fall off.
Mm-hmm.
So you get this, when I say soft, I mean just the transition of light going from, you know, your source down. So it doesn't like kind of cut hard on the edges.
Yep.
Like some flashes do. So, And actually, can I share one more, Frederick?
Go for it. Yeah. This is cool.
This is,
while you're pulling it out, I have a question. So mm-hmm. I'm seeing those they're made of rubber, right? So mm-hmm. it's like formed rubber, which means they're not going to take much space in your camera bag, right? So you can ball them up and just throw them in there, and they retain their shape when they. So if I throw one in my camera bag all crumpled up like that, it's going to be fine. Like a week later, if I pull it out of there.
Yep, exactly. You can. I mean, literally, you can just take this stuff and just toss it wherever if you wanted to. And it's always going to just boop, pop right back up again. So the nice thing is I had mentioned that MagMod came out about 4 years ago. The very first modifiers it came out with was the grid, and then it came out with the sphere and the bounce. So some of these things I've had for 3+ years and they're basically indestructible. I mean, you can't, in fact, here's the cool thing. MagMod even says like, let's say, you know, you have to put it in your camera bag and it, I don't know, something sharp, you know, happens to puncture it or something happens where MagMod comes out or something. A magnet comes out.
Yeah.
They'll replace them. It's a lifetime guarantee on this stuff too. So, I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, if something did even happen, you could definitely get replacement, but like you said, super, just crunch all this stuff up if you wanted to. A lot of this will actually, you know, break down itself. Like it will become small. Like
oh, wow. Here. Wow. Cool.
But yeah, heat resistant.
Love it. Love it.
So you'll see me a lot of times just take them and just kind of like toss them in my bag.
Right? Yeah. Don't toss your speed light or your strobe light.
yeah, I got to make sure of, right?
what's next? So I want to, clearly there's a lot of different modifiers that you guys have available. What's next?
Like, you know, so...
to the extent that you can tell me, right? I know, you know, I'm from Silicon Valley. I know from Apple, you'll say we can't talk about unreleased products or services, right?
Yeah, but sure.
But tell us the direction that you guys are kind of moving in, right?
For sure. So I mentioned that Spencer is a photographer and he still shoots. And I shoot, you know, 30 weddings a year or so. We have our product development lead. He does about 25, 30 weddings a year as well. His name is Timothy. He's an amazing photographer. So Timothy Irick actually is his website. Mm-hmm. Everyone on our team, minus maybe one or two of the employees, I'm trying to think through our entire team, but nearly everyone on the team, and we're about 16 of us, is a wedding photographer, or excuse me, a photographer of some kind. Like we've shot, you know, with the gear and so forth. So we're out there. We understand what photographers are looking for. And we see the frustrations. So I can't say too much yet. Sure. I will say this. I would tell people, look on the horizon. Like I would, subscribe to the newsletter, go check out the community, whatever, because there is going to be some stuff that's going to be announced pretty soon. And I don't even want to put a date on that pretty soon, but pretty soon.
That's cool.
And there's some exciting stuff coming out. And basically the idea is that we're looking at where are the other frustrations that photographers are facing? You know, is it beauty dishes, softboxes, stands, flashes, hard drives? I mean, you name it. We're looking at all the different frustrations that we're all facing and what can we do to help photographers in that sense? How can we help their story so that when they're out there, you know, shooting weddings, we can make it easier on them? So yeah, that's probably all I should say right now, but I will say that there is some exciting stuff coming.
That's cool. You guys are building the utility belt for Batman over there, you know, with all your different modifiers and tools to fight crime. You know, I love it.
Yeah, to make it easy and you know, I mean, the last thing you want when you're out doing a shoot, whatever kind of shoot it is, the last thing you want is to be frustrated with your gear.
Right.
And I think, you know, I photographers always talk about, like, it's not about the gear, it's about the art. And I completely agree about that. I mean, I totally agree. Like, it's not about which camera you have. It's definitely about how you use the cameras. But I will say the nicer gear, the things that you invest your money in, will make it less frustrating a lot of times, whether it be having more dynamic range in your camera, whether it be having a flash that fires every time you shoot it, you know, that kind of stuff. So when you invest in a little bit nicer gear, it allows you to have a more frustration-free environment.
Yep.
And I think that's what our job or our what we're hoping to do for photographers is make it less frustrating and make it easier for you guys.
So. Love it. I love it. Yeah. That analogy, the not about the gear thing, it kind of reminds me of the, you know, when people talk about, it's not about the journey, it's about the destination, right? So yes, but there's different ways to get to the destination, right? You could say it's a car, you're trying to get cross country, you're going from San Francisco to New York, you can get there in a little crappy car, or you can get there in a more expensive car, right?
Yeah.
So,
and make the experience remarkable and memorable. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. That's great.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, Trevor, thanks for coming on, man. This has been a pleasure. Where's if people want to go check out more about MagMod and connect with the company, where should they go?
Yeah. So our website, it's actually MagnetMod. The name is MagMod, but there happens to be another company that had that website and they just don't want to give it up. So so it's you have to search MagnetMod, MagnetMod.com. We also have a community on Facebook. It's called MagMod Community. And then we have a YouTube channel. It has a ton of videos. Unfortunately, you got to see this ugly face in a lot of them, but nonetheless, there's some videos out there that with some, you know, great education on gels and the difference between the products and so forth. So
love it.
I appreciate you having me here. This has been fun.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Thank you for coming on. And, definitely people should go check out the site and, you know, check out MagMod stuff. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
All right, man. Take care.
This is Twitter.